This morning, we return to our series of messages, We Know. We know. The unknown frustrates us. Consumed by the unknown, our faith can be compromised, even our relationship with the Lord. Perhaps all of us would know of people that walked away from Jesus because of the thing that happened, that they couldn't understand. They didn't know why. They didn't know why God didn't answer. They didn't know why God didn't help. They didn't know why God did this instead of that. The unknown took them captive and made a prisoner of them, bound them in their frustration and confusion and anger, consumed by the unknown. That's really the fate of us all. In fact, that being said, never mind someone else. Maybe all of us have, in fact, our own story of compromised faith, of compromised relationship, of frustration and confusion and anger, because we let ourselves become stuck and consumed by what we didn't know related to what God was doing in our lives, or what God had allowed in our lives, or what God didn't step in and prevent from happening in our lives. It's probably not the most pleasant of thoughts to consider, but there will always be the unknown. Because it is true, God's thoughts are nothing like our thoughts, and His ways are beyond anything we could imagine. The prophet Isaiah tells us that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than ours. So in light of that, in light of the destructive and yet ever-present nature of the unknown, how do we respond? What do? In the midst of the unknown, we anchor ourselves in the known. We anchor ourselves, we anchor our faith, we anchor our relationship with Jesus in what we do know. So trouble assails us, questions arise, God doesn't explain, our questions are left unanswered, we don't know, and it's perplexing and it's frustrating, but we are not shaken, we are not taken captive, we are not thrown into bondage by the unknown. Nothing in us, not in our faith, not in our relationship with the Lord, nothing is compromised, because rather than being consumed by the unknown, we anchor ourselves in what we do know. We know Jesus. The frustration is silenced in the beauty and the majesty of His presence. It really is true. We turn our eyes on Him and we look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth, the troubles of this world, the frustration of the unknown, everything else grows strangely dim. Remind yourself of that this morning. You maybe don't know much. You maybe have a lot of questions to ask of God this morning. God, why haven't you done this? God, why haven't you done that? God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why you're not helping. I don't know why you're not fixing the situation. I don't know why you're not changing the situation. You maybe don't know much, but remind yourself this morning, you do know Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He calls you His friend. Do you see this morning? Do you understand how powerless the frustration of the unknown becomes in light of that we do know? We know Jesus, and we know that we are saved, not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of His mercy. He's washed away our sins. He has given us new birth and new life through the Spirit. And because of His grace, He has declared us righteous and given us the confidence that we will inherit eternal life. So again this morning, in answer to your frustration with the unknown, I know you want all the why questions answered. I don't have that for you, but I do have this, the reminder, He has saved you. I don't know why God hasn't come through. I don't know why you're still in that mess. I don't know why you're still in the deep, dark valley, the dungeon of despair and gloom. I don't know why God hasn't worked the miracle, but I do know this. He has saved you. By His mercy, your sins are gone. And because of His grace, righteousness has come. Again, do you see it this morning? How powerless the frustration of the unknown becomes in light of that we do know. Frustration turns to praise when we turn from the unknown to the known. Frustration. I don't know. I don't understand. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, you keep speaking that to yourself and you're going to keep living in the frustration and the chaos and the confusion and the discouragement, and everything in your life is going to be shaken and wavering as you continue to speak that. But when you set your heart and your mind on what you do know, all of a sudden your frustration turns to praise. I know that I'm saved, and by His mercy, my sins are gone, and because of His grace, He has clothed me with the righteousness of Jesus. I may not know much, but I know that I can praise Him today because there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brothers and we love the sisters. We find divine purpose and supernatural joy and a richness in life when we do that. When we love one another, we know we are no longer slaves. Not to sin, not to fear, not to lust, not to depression, not to grief, not to bitterness, envy, jealousy, not to anger, hatred, or bigotry, not to unforgiveness. Not to addiction, not to bondage, not to anything. Because of Jesus, we have died to sin's influence and control over us. And we have been raised with Him in resurrection, triumphant victory over sin's power. We have been set free. We are children of God. And now the lives we live in righteousness. We live for Him. Once more. Do you see it? Do you understand it? How powerless the frustration becomes in light of what we do know. I don't know. Oh, there's a lot. But I do know this. I am no longer a slave. I am a child of God. This morning, we continue. On this Pentecost Sunday, we know, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13, we know that we live in Him and He lives in us because He has given us His Spirit. Today, the celebration of Pentecost is for us the celebration of the gift that is God's Spirit given to us, dwelling in us. We know that we live in Him. We know that He lives in us. And how do we know all of that? How can we be assured of all of that? Because He has given us His Spirit. We celebrate the gift of the Spirit this morning. Aren't you glad for the gift of Jesus today? Amen. Aren't you glad for the gift of God's Son by which your sins are forgiven, by which you have been saved? Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Listen to me. God's not done giving good gifts. Aren't you glad for the gift of His Spirit this morning that He has poured out on His people, His Spirit to empower them, to help them, to enable them, to work mightily through them. We celebrate, we rejoice today in Pentecost and God giving to us the gift of His Spirit. For just a few minutes this morning, just a few things on the reason for that celebration as we consider all that the Holy Spirit does in us. The first thing this morning, the Spirit affirms in us our relationship with God. The Spirit affirms in you and in me our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what John says. We know that we live in Him. Who's Him? We know that we live in God. And He, who's He? And God lives in us. And how do we know that? Because He has given us His Spirit. That this morning I want to encourage you, challenge you, and remind you more than just that relationship, as in we know God and God knows us and God has forgiven us and God has rescued us and God has redeemed us. Even more than that sense of God dwelling in us, as good as all of that would be, because of the Spirit, it's even better. The Spirit affirms in us our relationship with God from this perspective, that He is our Father. Yes, we know Him. And yes, He knows us. And yes, He has forgiven us and He has rescued us from our sin and the consequences of it. Yes, He has redeemed us. But best of all, this morning, He has done all of that so that He might put within you and me His very own Spirit, so that His Spirit in us might affirm within us that we are His children. He calls us His own. You and me, we are His sons and His daughters, and He is our Father. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship." Just remind you this morning, you are not a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter. Let that truth breathe life into you this morning. I know oftentimes we don't feel like it. I know oftentimes we're looking at our own works and, oh, I messed it up. And, oh, I didn't do a very good job. But listen, forget all of that and rest in the truth of Scripture this morning. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. You have received the Spirit of sonship. I don't know. Forget about the I don't know. To your unknown this morning, declare this truth. I know I'm a son of the Most High God. I don't know why God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know when things are going to change. I don't know how to. I know this. I'm a son of the King. I'm a daughter of the Most High. Let your faith be anchored in that and see how it transforms you from discouragement and despair and everything shaken to a firm foundation that you have then in the Lord. You're not a slave. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Would you just say it to yourself this morning? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. And by Him we cry, verse 15. Abba, Father. Do you understand this morning? It's because of the Spirit's work in you and affirming your relationship with God. No longer a slave, but rather a child of His. The Spirit affirming that in you is what makes you to go to the Lord in prayer, addressing Him as Father. Do you ever say that in prayer? Father, Father God, help. Father, I love You. Father, thanks for saving me. Thanks for rescuing me. Thanks for caring for me. Thanks for delivering me. Father in heaven, oh, how I worship You. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Do you understand this morning, according to Romans chapter 8, the only way you think to pray that, the liberty you have in praying like that, is because the Spirit is in you. The Spirit of sonship has taken up residence inside of you. You live in God, and God lives in you, and the Spirit has been put inside of you, which makes you to call out to Him, Abba. Father. Some look at the word Abba and some consider it a word by which children address their father. I didn't call my dad father. I called him dad. Dare it be that we can go to God in heaven because of the spirit of sonship that resides in us and say, Dad, oh Dad, you gotta help. Dad, I need your wisdom. I need you to come through for me. Dad, I need you to help me in this situation, in this circumstance. Dare it be that we can go to God and address Him as Dad because of the spirit of sonship that He has put inside of us. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. One pastor describes us Christians this way: no longer orphans. Instead, we are now heirs. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to think on that and to consider that? From an orphan to an heir. That's my story. That's your story. Jesus, addressing the religious leaders, will tell them that they talk, really, that they lie just like their father, because their father, the devil, is the father of lies. Think of it in that context. In our sin, the devil was our father and our only inheritance, the hell that was created for him. But now in Christ, God is our father and our inheritance is his glory. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we also may share in His glory. Paul, all that he says in Romans 8, he will reaffirm in Galatians 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. Through Jesus, we're brought into this relationship with God, wherein we are made to be God's children. And this is what Scripture reveals to us. You only know that. You only recognize that. You only live in the reality of that because of the Holy Spirit and His work in you on this Pentecost Sunday. Despite all that you may not know, may you firmly be anchored. May you give place this morning for the Holy Spirit to speak into your life and remind you, you can know this, you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit that God has put inside of you tells you that you are. And the second thing this morning, the Spirit in us not only affirms our relationship with God, but as well reveals to us spiritual realities. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And in a sense, that would be very true, wouldn't it? Our mind, our hearts, our ability to discern all that God has in store for us, probably very limited in fully understanding all the perfection of God's purposes and plans for our lives. Maybe we could especially think of it in the context of heaven, the glories of heaven. Our minds can't even begin to understand as we read through Scripture and we see God's marvelous and miraculous plan of salvation, all that God had for His people to redeem His people. The reality, we can't fully grasp all of it. In a lot of ways. But look at what Paul says in verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Back to 1 John. That's the Spirit that God has given to you. Do you understand that this morning? The Spirit that knows the mind and the thoughts of God dwells inside of you. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given. Paul will go on to speak of this from a negative perspective. We have the Spirit, so we can know, we can understand what God has given to us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who loved Him. But by the Spirit, those things can be revealed to us because the Spirit lives within us. From the other perspective, though, verse 14 of chapter 2, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Paul, Scripture reveals to us clearly there's a spiritual reality. Listen to me, dear brother and sister. There is a spiritual reality that is far greater than the physical reality that you and I live in. And that spiritual reality is made known to us by way of the Spirit. In Ephesians, our struggle, our battle, our fight is a spiritual one. It's against rulers and against authorities and powers of this dark world, and it's against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. In Ephesians then, that same chapter, and into 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, Paul will remind us that because our battle is a spiritual one, so then is our arsenal in that battle. It's a spiritual arsenal. So what do? We put on the full armor of God because it's spiritual warfare that we're in. We put on the full armor of God and we fight not with the weapons of this world, but with spiritual weaponry that has the power to demolish strongholds. That's the work of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does in us. Brings to light spiritual truth. He reveals the thoughts of God, the deep things of God, the things of God that we otherwise would not and could not know. The Spirit makes known to us the spiritual. For us this morning in that context, we're going to funnel our focus on God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus reminds us in John 4 that God is Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our Father in heaven, that's a spiritual thing. So then all that we would know and all that we would experience of that, it's because of the Spirit at work in us. Let's say it this way this morning. By way of the Spirit, you can know and be assured you have a Father in heaven. And by way of the Spirit, you can know your Father in heaven. John chapter 16, Jesus says this, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you." All that Jesus is, all that would encompass Jesus, the person of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the Spirit makes known to us all of that. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Do you understand? We'll say it this way this morning. All that belongs to the Father, Jesus possesses. And all that Jesus possesses, that's what the Spirit reveals and makes known to us. All that belongs to the Father. All that the Father is. All that the Father does. All that the Father can do. The Spirit reveals that to us. So this morning, consider your Father in heaven. He's the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He's the God with whom nothing is impossible. He's the all-knowing God, the always present God, the all-powerful God. And He loves you. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that He loves us with an everlasting love. More and more and more love. And He values you. And He knows you. He longs to have relationship with you. He longs to spend time with you. And He walks with you and He talks with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. The prophet Isaiah lets us to know that because we are His, when we pass through the waters, He's with us. Through the rivers, He's there. When even we walk through the fire, we need not fear the flames, for the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel, our Savior, even there He is with us. He cares for you. He protects you. He is your rock, your fortress. He's your shield. He's your salvation. He provides for you. Your heavenly Father takes very, very, very good care of you. He wants the best for you. So He guides you. He teaches you. Sometimes He disciplines you. He's gracious towards you. He forgives you and He restores you. Micah chapter 7, where is the God who can compare with you? Wiping the slate clean of guilt, turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the past sins of your purged and precious people. Psalm 103, the psalmist writes, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. So this morning, can we maybe describe it this way? Any of that that we would speak of related to God's character, God's nature, God's ways, any of that that would resonate inside you? Even as I went through that list, small as it might be in comparison to the greatness of God, any of that that stirred within your heart, yes, He is the God with whom nothing is impossible. Yes, He is the God that values me. Maybe yours is a story of no one valuing you seemingly forever. And this morning, something leaps inside of you. He is the God of heaven and earth that knows my name, that cares for me. Maybe there was something that leapt inside of your heart and in your mind because of the need that you have. Yes, it's true. I can believe that of my Father in heaven. I can put my hope in that He is my provider. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my shield. He's my salvation. He's my rock and my fortress. He does want the best for me. He is guiding and leading me. Something inside of you that recognizes the truth of it all, that God, yes, He is all that. Yes, I believe Him that He's that. Yes, I trust Him that He's that. Yes, I put my hope in Him that He's that. Listen to me. It happens because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You're in God, God's in you, and the Spirit begins to make known to you all that Jesus is. When you've sinned and you need someone to forgive you, the Spirit, you're in God, God's in you, the Spirit lives within you. And brings to your memory, He died for even that sin. And yes, that one, and that one. And when you're burdened by sickness and pain, it's the Spirit of the living God that stirs within you a faith to believe, by His stripes, I am healed. Aren't you glad for the work of the Spirit this morning? If you have lots of unknown in your life, you need the work of the Spirit. But not in the reason you might think. Not to reveal to you the answers that elude you and thus frustrate you. You need the Spirit at work in you to reveal the Father to you. to reveal Jesus again, afresh and anew to you. You have a Father in heaven. The Spirit lets you to know that. And your Father, you can know Him. You can experience all that He is and all that He does. You can experience the fullness of His goodness and His power. The Spirit will help you to know Him like that. The third thing this morning, the Spirit reveals to us that we're children of God. It lets us to know that by way of our experience with Him, we can know all that He is and all that He does, our Father in heaven. And the Spirit also makes possible and makes perfect communication with our Heavenly Father. No wonder we celebrate Pentecost. It's good news. We're not slaves, we're sons and daughters. But that's not all. It's good news on top of good news. Not only do we have a Father in heaven, we can know Him. We can experience the immeasurable nature of His power, the everlasting nature of His love, the greatness of His grace. We can experience His presence and protection and provision. But it's still not all. It's good news on top of good news with still more good news to come. This Father of ours in heaven, we have a continual audience with Him so that we can make our requests known to Him, so that we can receive from Him help in our time of need because of the Spirit in us. We have a voice for our prayer even when we don't know what to say. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray, nor do we know how to pray. But the Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as He pleads for us in harmony with God's own word. May you anchor yourself in that today. There may be so many unknowns in your life. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know why God did this. I don't know why God didn't do that. I don't know why God didn't stop it. I don't know why God didn't prevent it. I don't know why God didn't make it happen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There may be, in fact, so many unknowns in your life that in the end, it's the shaking of your head and the frustration. I just don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. There's so much I don't know. I don't know how to sum it all up except to say, I just don't know. But when you don't know, never forget, the Spirit does. And the Spirit is the one who prays for you. The feelings that cannot be expressed in words. You have an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have an audience with your Father with whom nothing is impossible. He really can do anything and everything. The Spirit prays for you. And He prays perfectly for you. He prays in harmony with God's own will. The fourth, Spirit reveals to us we're sons and daughters. Lets us to know all that we can experience of God. Makes possible communication with the Father. And the work of the Spirit, He helps us to live lives that are pleasing to the Father. The Spirit enables us to be righteous and to be holy, even as our Father in heaven is holy. Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What's Paul saying? Live by the Spirit, and you'll live a life that's pleasing to God. Live by the Spirit, and you'll do the things that are pleasing to God. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God is pleased with, love, joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit enables us to be righteous, to live righteously and to live holy before our most holy God. And the Spirit gifts us so that for our Father we might serve His family and His kingdom. In Romans and in 1 Corinthians as well, it's revealed to us that each one, God, by His own Spirit, has given us a gift for this purpose, that His people and that His family might be edified, built up and lifted up. And the Spirit empowers us to boldly proclaim in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the world the gospel, the good news message of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, sent by God because of His love for the world, so that through Him the world might be saved. I'll just put it to you this way this morning. The better that you can live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led and a Spirit-empowered life, the more and better you will live like Jesus. The more and better you will serve the family of God. The more and better you will faithfully proclaim salvation to all who call on the name of the Lord. And a life lived like that will be pleasing to the Father and will be for the purpose of Him being glorified even in all the earth. This morning, finally, number five, the fifth thing. God's our Father. We're His children. And we can know our Father. And we can call out to Him for help. That's the work of the Spirit in us. We have a continual audience with Him. The Spirit bearing our needs always, ever before the throne room of God. The Spirit talking to the Father for us on our behalf. And we can live for Him so that He's pleased with us and glorified in us and through us. And finally this morning, the work of the Spirit, it's the reminder that one day, maybe in fact even soon and very soon, we will get to see our Father. Ephesians chapter 1. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. You were marked. How so? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Your inheritance, my inheritance, is an eternal home in heaven. And the Spirit within you is the deposit. You know how deposits work, right? You put a deposit down. It's a guarantee that whatever the deposit is on is yours. You put a deposit down. It's the guarantee that you'll be back to give back whatever you borrowed. This morning, the Spirit is the deposit in you that you belong to God. It is the deposit in you that God is coming one day to take you to be with Himself. In 2 Corinthians, now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. In chapter 5, Paul talks a little bit about what's to come. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. This tent wears down and we groan. This tent goes through trouble and we groan in the misery of it all, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that the mortal may be swallowed up by life. It's God who made us for this very purpose, and once more, has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit lets us to know that we have a Father in heaven, and the Spirit is the deposit in us, guaranteeing that we will one day get to be with our Father. On this Pentecost Sunday, we know we live in Him. He lives in us. We know it. We know it. We know it. We know it. Because He has put His Spirit in us. And His Spirit is the Spirit of sonship that lets us to know that we have a Father in heaven. And not just a Father out there somewhere, but a Father that we can know. We can know His love. We can know His care. We can know His protection. We can know His power in our lives. A Father we can call out to. And even when we don't have the words to pray, the Spirit in us calls out to our Father for us. And lets us to know that one day we will be with Him. One day that will mark the beginning of all eternity. We will get to see. Oh, what a day that will be. Our eyes will behold Him, our Father in heaven. Father, we thank You today for the work of Your Spirit in us. And I pray that God, this morning, that Your Spirit would work freely, powerfully, mightily in our midst. These messages, God, we never make light of the frustration of the unknown. All of us know it. Oh, how it burdens us. The questions that we have, the things that we don't understand. God, I don't know why. I don't know what You're doing. We all have been there. We live there maybe constantly. We don't make light of the unknown, but we do set it aside so that we can take hold of that we do know. And this morning we take hold of Your Spirit and we celebrate the work Your Spirit would do in us. And we avail ourselves to the work Your Spirit would do in us even today. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name.